Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Good to see everyone. It's been a while. Good to be with you all that are online with us. Hopefully you can hear me well. Just speak into this direction, or this is the one. Okay, cool. So I'm jumping right into a month on This World Is Not Our Home. We're not of this world, right?
Right.
So I was praying and thinking for inspiration, and kind of what came to my mind, hopefully it was inspired, was we are still here. Like, we're not of this world, but we're still here. So what do we do? It's an interesting situation to be in, right? It's a challenge because we're surrounded by our temporary home. We're surrounded by different ways of living, plenty of distractions, especially in the modern age, especially in the internet age. We're all dealing with constant distractions. So I wanted to look a little bit about the mindset that we should have that comes along with considering we're not of this world, and look at some Bible verses along those lines. And I have some interactive parts, so I'm hoping everyone can pitch in and we can work together on this. First, I just want to point out, right, we have this Spirit, and it's a treasure, but it's in an earthen vessel. That's like 2 Corinthians. So we have the challenge of having such potential, having that seed, but we still have our old man nature, right? So let's look at Romans 7. So this is the section where Paul talks about the challenges of having this old man nature. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and I'm reading in the New King James Version. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So that's the challenge. We have new man nature and old man nature, and we want to get the most out of our time here in our temporary home. God's equipped us with all the power and capabilities that we need, but how do we manifest that? How do we take advantage of that? And a lot of it, the battle goes on in the mind, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to Romans 12. Okay, so Romans 12:2 talks about, what our main topic is tonight. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we all know we get the new birth. We're endued with power from on high, but we still have work to do. We still have to decide how we want to live, what habits we have, how we communicate, what we put in our brains. And that's the renewing of the mind. We'll get into some more specifics. So let's go, maybe I'll go start with Al and work our way around and just want to read maybe two verses. So could you do 3 and 4, Al, and then Daniel 5 and 6, and Deanna, so on and so forth.
Sure. For I say, to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office.
So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
Now thoughtful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, with joy and hope, patient in tribulation, and continue instant in prayer.
Shanti, 13 and 14, and we'll keep going until we end.
13 and 14?
Yeah, so we end the chapter.
Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them.
Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all.
That's a great translation.
I know.
Nice a lot.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Excellent. So there's a playbook there, if I've ever seen one. So question to the group. What does the renewed mind look like? What did you get from those verses?
It looks like joy and goodness. It looks like Christ.
Right? Yeah. Anyone else have any thoughts?
Being kind one to another. Supporting one another.
Blessing one another. Hospitality,
not
entirely
yourself.
Yeah, it's really interesting that it starts with humility, right?
Yeah.
All of this starts with humility. And then how does this maybe look different from the world we're surrounded in?
Positive.
That was pretty straightforward, right? Not the opposite of everything we just said, right? So that's the real challenge, right, is we have to evaluate what we're thinking, the information that's coming in. Is it a new man or is it old man? Right? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Okay, Philippians 4:8. This is a great checklist if you're to put on your dashboard or put, I don't know, everywhere. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of what the renewed mind looks like. Mm-hmm. So as we're taking information and we're processing our thoughts, minds, you know, we go back to the Word to decide, is this new man or old man, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, let's start in 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Mm-hmm. So that hope is that motivation. When we're in that battle of the world, right? It's not easy. You have a bad day at work, someone cuts you off, someone's, you know, cruel or mean to you. We have that hope to help energize us to push through that. Why do you think it's so important to comfort one another with this? Any other thoughts? I guess I threw some ideas out, but
because it brings great peace to their mind, knowing that they're reading, you're giving them the truth, not the world's hypothesis of their spin on things. And God wants us to know that it's not over when we fall asleep. And that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But it's a big comfort to know this truth.
Well, the Spirit is the comforter. Yes. Where we get that comfort, where we update the Spirit in our lives.
We have to remind each other at times that the world is not nice, but we are nice to each other, and that's the anchor. It's like, how could we be miserable and upset when we know that we've got such a great hope for each other?
Yeah, I think you touched on something huge, that we're not in this mental battle by ourselves. We have a team supporting us, right? Excellent. Thanks, everyone. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I think we'll pretty much go through the first 16 verses here. Again, this is just great reminders of what the new man looks like, kind of compared to the old man as we're endeavoring to put on the mind of Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. It just really speaks for itself, right? Mm-hmm. The challenge is, some days we may not feel like that, right? May not feel like long-suffering and meekness and forgiving one another. But we're here as a family to help each other, remind ourselves of the hope, remind ourselves of the Spirit we have. And so, based on all these scriptures we read, we've got to choose on a daily basis to develop good habits. Right? You want a good outcome, you need to develop good habits. So I was thinking about kind of how the mind works. I was thinking about when I come to San Diego, I love to get burritos, right? And so I'll be driving down the street and I'll see a sign for Roberto's. And that's my cue. I see that, right? And then I have a craving. This is kind of how the brain works, right? I start thinking, oh, burrito, right? Like, I can use a burrito, even if I just ate. And then I respond, right? I respond, I go get a burrito, get a California burrito, right? And then my reward is it's delicious, If it wasn't delicious, then I'd probably stop, right? But that's how you develop a habit, right? You get a cue, I see the sign, I have that craving, I'm hungry, right? And then I respond to it, and if it's a good response, well, I'm probably going to do it again. Next time I see the sign, I'm going to do it again, right? So that's kind of like, that's how our brain works. And so if we want to develop good habits where we put the new man into action, we got to think about that. So what does that mean exactly? All right. So our brain sees cues. So if we want to have good habits to put on the new man, we need to make it obvious, right? Like have the cues. So as I look around this house, I know many of your houses, you've got the word up on the wall, right? That's just one great example of a cue. Can you guys and gals think of any other cues?
The man sees God, the mountains, the sky, the star, the ocean, the sand.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by
the plant life.
Cues. Yeah, yeah.
Just the wonder of creation
all around. Mm-hmm. My phone, my screensaver is scripture.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all these little things that build it up. Totally. Listen, absolutely. And if we want to crave God's word and crave the new man, we want to make it attractive. Right, like Roberto's has a nice sign out, and they repaint their building, whatever. They obviously have good food. What can we do to make God's word attractive, like desirable?
Just read it.
Be an example.
Yep.
You know, to really work on being an example of what Christ looks like.
Totally. When I see Kathy doing that, like, and I see how happy that makes her and the joy in her life, that makes it attractive for me. So our response, right, that's when I go, eat the burrito. We want to make it easy for ourselves, right? If you want to go to the gym, the best thing to do is to pick a gym really close to you. Like, make it as easy as you can, right? What can we do as a strategy to make God's word easier to put on?
Well, we got it in our phones now.
Yeah,
phones.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Determine time to look at it.
Yeah.
Set some time aside.
Maybe a morning routine.
Right.
Or an evening routine.
Right.
In your car routine.
Yeah. And then the end, it's satisfying, right? It's a lot better than a California burrito. The joy that we have in our hearts is worth it all. So. That's kind of what I wanted to share about the new man and old man, and we're surrounded by, you know, this world and all its influences and all the social media, and we have to decide, like, is that stuff we want to put in, or do we want to turn that off and turn on something that's healthy for us? And that takes discipline. It takes habits, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I wake up every day and look at social media, well, that's a bad habit, right? I made it easy for myself to do something bad, so let's make it easy for ourselves to do something that's beneficial.
Yay.
So there you go.